Okay, good morning, everybody. Please make sure that you have the source sheet. There are some more on the front seats. So we're talking really today about understanding Yosef and his brother's sibling rivalry, attempted murder, and manipulation. I was standing looking down through those windows. I don't know if that's the main entrance to Citi Field. I'm not sure. And it occurred to me that it's very ironic. Interesting, Rashi and Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yedchas, and the Pasuk tells us, you shouldn't do like the ways of the Egyptians. You shouldn't be like the Canaanim. And then the Torah adds something, and he tells you, V'chukoseinim lo seilechu. Shouldn't go in their ways, Perek Yedchas, Pasuk Gimel, Sefer Vayikra. So V'chukoseinim lo seilechu, you told me I shouldn't be like the Egyptians. You told me I shouldn't be like the Canaanites. So what are you telling me? Don't go in their ways. I know I shouldn't go in their ways. What are you adding on? So Rashi says matters that have become like chukim for them, things that are firmly entrenched. And Rashi says, if you don't like it, you can look up the Rashi. Don't go to their theaters and their stadiums. So I found it quite ironic that there I am looking out, waiting for the previous speaker to finish, for our shir to begin. I'm looking out on their stadiums, and I wonder what Rashi and Chazal would say if we're bringing Torah and making this place into a makom kadosh. Let's talk about understanding Yosef and his brothers. Last week I was speaking to somebody, Miriam Wallach of JM in the AM, an interview, and she said, you know, it's a heavy topic for a Sunday morning. I said, it's never too heavy. Any time is good for Torah. I just want to thank my in-laws for coming, the Shosam, who are joining us today. Okay. Let's talk about machlokas. Strife, dissent, disunity, quarrel, argument, misunderstanding, intolerance, and a lack of acceptance. And let's talk about the consequence of what all those things do to Knesset Yisrael. Reuven and Shimon came to Rav Chaim of Volozhin. They were arguing over a piece of property. Each said, the piece of property is mine. After listening to both sides present their case, Rav Chaim of Volozhin looked at Reuven and Shimon and he said, let's go to the field. I would like to hear what this piece of property has to say. Reuven and Shimon were very puzzled. What's it going to help to go to the field and ask the field what he has to say? But Rav Chaim of Volozhin says we have to go to the field, so we have to go to the field. So Reuven told his side of the story. Shimon tells his side of the story. They go to the field. And when they're standing there, Rav Chaim of Volozhin says, once again, please present your side of the story. Reuven again tells. Shimon again tells. Rav Chaim of Volozhin says, now I'm going to bend down. I'll listen to what the field has to say. So he bends down. He puts his ear to the ground. And he stands up. And a little bit mockingly, Shimon says, nu. So what does the field have to say about our machlokas? So Rav Chaim of Volozhin looked at them with a very serious face. He was not smiling. And he says, the ground says, this one claims I belong to him for this reason. This one claims I belong to him for that reason. The truth is, in no time at all, they will both belong to me. Machlokas, quarrel, strife, dissent, disunity, intolerance, lack of acceptance. How did this occur? How do we understand that the Shivtei Kah, whose names were inscribed on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, could have done this to their own brother? And of course, this coming week's parsha is Parsha Shmos. Vayakam Melachadosh Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. Vayanchu Bnei Yisrael Min HaAvoda. Kol HaBen HaYilad HaYa'aret HaShlichuhu. All that is derived from what begins in Parshas Vayeshev. So if you look on your handout, please make sure that you have a handout. Where are more handouts? In the front. Okay, if you're coming in, please take a handout which are on the front chair. So the first thing you really have on your handout is Perek Lamed Zayin, because what we have to understand is look at the Perek in the Torah in which this machlokas is based. I'm going to read most of it outside for lack of time. I'm in Bereishis Perek Lamed Zayin, page 1 of your handout. And Yaakov dwelled in the land of his father's sojourns in the land of Canaan. Rashi famously tells us, B-case Yaakov, Leshei B'Shelva. Yaakov wants some peace and quiet. You know when you have one Tzara after another? Tzara's Esav, Tzara's Lavan, Tzara's Dina. Okay, Tzaras Rachel, she died, Mesa, Lai Rachel. I want some peace and quiet. Ah, you want peace and quiet, says God. Kafa tzalav rigzo shel Yosef. It's not enough. You're going to get peace and quiet in the Olam HaEmes. You want it now? Let's see what's going to happen. These are the offspring of Yaakov, Pasuk Beis. Yosef was 17 years old. He was a shepherd. He hung out with the sons of the Shvachot. Why did he hang out with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah? Because the sons of Leah don't like him so much. We're going to understand why. Hoy. Vayave Yosef estibasam ra'alavim. The first indication that there's problems. It's not the Ksonas Pasim. It's not the dreams, which are major players in this story. It's Lashon Hara. The brothers are behaving in a way that Yosef does not understand. Looks like they're eating Avram min Achai. They're not shechting the animal. It looks like they're hanging out with Canaanite women, not behaving properly. He doesn't understand what's going on. He's only 17 years old. He spends time doing his eyes and his hair, Rashi tells us, and he speaks Lashon Hara. Adding to the problem, and Yisrael loved Yosef from all his sons because he was the son of his old age. Adding to the problem, he makes him a special coat. So now we have a few factors. Lashon Hara, nobody likes to be spoken about negatively. He's the favorite son, and he gets a special coat. And the other brothers don't have a special coat. And the brothers see their father loved him from all the brothers. Vayisnu, also they hate him. They cannot speak to him in peace. How tragically sad when we cannot speak to our brothers in peace. Adding to all this potpourri of trouble, 1 second, please. Excuse me. Yosef starts to dream. And not only does he start to dream, but he tells the dreams to his brothers. If you have a dream, you're going to be king over people. And you know they don't like you. You should go tell them. Salvechik explains that his dreams were nevuot, they were prophecies, and it is forbidden for a prophet to surpass his nevuah. So he says, you want to hear the dream that I dreamed, or keeping in mind they don't like him very much. We're binding sheaves of wheat in the field, my sheaf gets up, and you all start bowing down to me. And the brothers say famous words, Hamaloch Timloch Aleinu, you're going to be ruler over us. Imashol Timshol Banu, you're going to be the king over us. Said it backwards. You're going to be king over us. You're going to be ruler over us. They continue to hate him because of his dreams and because of his words. He has another dream, and now he's dreaming of heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the Yorech, the Kochavim. Everyone's bowing down to him. So he tells his father, he tells his brother, this isn't going so well for Yosef. The brothers now are jealous of him. Pasuk Yud-Beis. And his father says to him, what are you thinking, Yosef? You think your father, your mother, and I are going to come bow down to you? So Rashi says, Rachel's dead. So how could it be that Rachel's going to be bowing down to him? It's all fascinating. Medrash Bereishis Rabba teaches something unbelievable. Yaakov thought Trias HaMesim was going to be in his days, says the Medrash. Yaakov thought the resurrection of the dead was going to occur in his days because Yosef's dreaming that my brothers and my father and my mother are going to bow down to me. How could this be? Rachel's buried in Kever Rachel. Ve'isalai Rachel v'derach. Wow. He's going to be zocha to resurrection of the dead. Of course, it did not happen. And on that fateful day, when the brothers are out pasturing their flocks, or, says Rashi, pasturing themselves, Yaakov says to Yosef, there's no text, there's no FaceTime, you can't call them, where are they? Go find your brothers. What was he thinking? The same brothers who hate him, you should go find them. He finds a mysterious man. Rashi says the angel Gavriel of Salvechik says it's the Jewish destiny, the mysterious Ish that recurs over and over in the last four psukim, prakim of Bereishis, is Jewish destiny, putting all the players into the right place. A mysterious man finds him in the field, and the mysterious man says, where are you going? Who are you looking for? Who is he looking for, of course? He's looking for his brothers. They moved from here. They're not here anymore. Go to Dosan. We're just going through the psukim with some brief interpretations of Chazal here. Pasuk Yud Ches, please, page 1, towards the bottom of page 1. Vayiru also meirachok. They see him from afar. Ubeterem yikrav aleihem. Vayisnaklu also lahamiso. Here's our chance. We hate this boy. All our problems will be solved if we get rid of this lad. The mother's the favorite mother. He's the favorite son. He's the ben zukurim. He has a ksonis pasim. He dreams of rulership. You can't speak with him in peace. Father's not here. We'll tell him. A wild animal ate him. There's no press. It's not like today's day and age. You can't do anything. Everything records. Everything's recorded. Exhibit A. And they're going to put it on social networking. They can't get away with anything. Well, back in the day, there was no social networking. There was no record. Who's going to know? We'll come up with a story. We'll tell father. Look at his coat. Hakerna. Ksonas binchahi. Wow. It's the coat of your son. Whew. Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's throw him into one of the pits. We'll come home. We'll say a wild animal ate him. Reuven is a fascinating personality. Pasuk of Aleph. It's an unbelievable statement. Reuven saves him. I ask you a question. Did Reuven save Yosef? It's an unbelievable thing to say. He wants to save Yosef. We're going to speak about Reuven later in the shiur. And Reuven says, you know, let's not murder him. Throw him into the pit. Let's not put a hand to him. He wants, says the verse, to bring him home to father. Page 2. So Yosef's coming. They strip him of the ksonis possum. The first thing that indicates their rabid dislike of this young boy is that ksonis possum. They throw him into the pit. The pit is empty. There's no water. They sit down and they have a meal. Look at this. Look what they just did to their brother. And they're having a seuda. They sell him to the Yishma'elim. They sell him to the Midjanim. He ends up with who? Pharaoh. Reuven comes back to the pit. Yosef's not in the pit. He tears kriya. They dip the coat in blood. They come home and they say, father, look at the coat. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Yaakov tears kriya, and he mourns for his son for many days. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayakuma kol barna v'chol benasav l'nachmo. All of a sudden they have charata. Maybe you should have taken your father's feelings into consideration before you did this. Now you get up and you say, oi, we want to be nichem aveivim. We're sorry. Look what happened to Yosef. Can we make you feel better? There's no comfort for such a travesty. I will go down to the grave mourning for my son. His father cries. Yes, Rashi says Yitzchak is crying. The Pshat, Yaakov is crying. And where does he end up? In the hands of Potiphar, Sar HaTabachim. What is Sar HaTabachim? Potiphar has a lovely job in Egypt. Says Targum Onkelos. He's the chief executioner. He's not the butcher, the butler, the baker, the butcher. Oh, no. He's not the meat guy. He's the chief executioner. This is the chapter that tells us about the building up of hatred and about the sale. Let's look at what Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch writes on strife. How dangerous is strife? It's on your handout, page 2. Shamshon Fal Hirsch teaches, do not think I gave you the whole excerpt because it's very powerful. And by the way, you know, when we learn about Torah, and we learn about Pasuk Lamed Zion, if we think this is a story of antiquity, we are mistaken. Because if we think the Torah is a history book that has no relevance to our lives, we are wrong. Every day, says Rashi, it should be b'einecha k'chadashim. You just got it today. What is it about me that's in this story? The Vavi Mishkan Evner, Rav Itamar Schwartz, writes that within every person is every biblical personality. It's an unbelievable statement. That means we all have a Moshe Rabbeinu and his Anivus, and it means we all have a Paro and his Gaiva. It means we all have a Yosef with his dreams of Malchus, and we all have the brothers with their hatred and jealousy. Look at what Shamshon Fal Hirsch says on strife. I don't know why it's already 10:20. I want it to be like Yoshua, and the time should stop. Shamshon Fal Hirsch teaches, do not think that quarrel is of no account. It's on your handout. You can never foresee where it may lead to in the end. In the excitement of the dispute, this is so profound in regard to Yosef and the brothers. In the excitement of the dispute, you or your adversary may easily commit some wrong. Now, here you see my own notes because I was trying to figure out what he was saying. He uses a double negative, which is a positive. Only a person who does not shirk, who does not abstain from doing wrong, i.e., I wrote for myself, trying to figure out what he was saying, he does wrong, likes to quarrel. Only a person who does wrong likes to quarrel. Hence, whoever wishes to avoid wrongdoing for himself or others, keep away from dispute and avoid any occasion from friction. It honors a man to remain calm. Do not be drawn into quarrel. Look at the next words. Even if he has good cause for it. You know, father loves you more. Why should father love you more? Leah is the first wife. Leah has the most illustrious tribes. Why should you get the fur coat and my sister gets a fur coat and I don't get a fur coat? Why should you be the melech and I shouldn't be the melech? So perhaps they had good reason. What gives you the right to speak Lashon Hara about us, the father? Nevertheless, as of Sham Sham Fal Hirsh, only a fool does not avoid dispute. He makes his foolishness obvious. And I italicize the next words. Hatred is not the outcome. Hatred is not the outcome of a quarrel. Look at those very profound words. It is the cause. Hatred is not the outcome of machlokas. Hatred is the seed of machlokas. If two people have unfriendly feelings towards each other, they take offense at everything and anything. And isn't that true? If you don't like somebody else, everything they do bothers you. Everything grates on their nerves. Everything they say is annoying. However, says Rav Hirsch, bottom of page 2, love is forgiving and pardons even serious wrongs. And we know it's blatantly obvious that love was missing from this relationship between Yosef and the brothers. Vayisnu also, they hate him. If you look on your hands out, please turn to page 3. Very famous pasuk. There are seats on the other side. Please feel free to come in. Nobody's disturbing. Come through. Nobody's disturbing. You don't have to stand. Please come in. Vayikra, Parshas Kedoshim, very, very famous. Top of page 3. Perek Yotas, Pasuk Yotchas. It says in your handout, 19:18. You all know the Pasuk. What is the Pasuk? After the Re'acha Kamelcha. It's not the whole Pasuk, but the excerpt that's relevant for our purposes today. Love your fellows, you love yourself. This passage has a very famous Rashi. What does Rabbi Akiva tell you? Zaklal Gadol B'Torah. The great principle of the Torah is love your fellows, you love yourself. It's so earth shattering. That's the principle of the Torah. But if you look at the word L'Re'acha, I want to point out something profound. There are three words used in Lashon HaKodesh for friend, perhaps more than I am unaware of. Chavercha, it didn't say, from Shorish Chabura. Yedidcha, it didn't say, from Shorish Yedid, which is a beloved, said Re'acha. And what is the root word of Re'acha? And I put it in bold for you so that it should be very, very obvious. Reish Ayin. What is Reish Ayin? Ra. Bad. What is Rashi telling you? What is the Torah telling you? Even if you perceive your friend as Ra, as evil, as bad, I have reason to hate him. Nevertheless, it is him that you should love. That's the great principle of the Torah. You know why? Does the Torah need to tell you to love your best friend who never did wrong? Does the Torah need to tell you to love your spouse? Your parents? I'm not talking about the exceptions to the rule. I'm talking about Bederach Klal. I know we can make jokes, but I'm not going to. Does the Torah need to tell you to love your child? Why not? Because you see yourself as intimately connected. Chabura, chaver, to that person. They're your yadid, they're their beloved. The Torah is not telling you to love the people you love. You love them. The Torah is telling you to love the people you don't love, that are ra in your eyes. Okay, says the Torah. That's the principle, says Rabbi Akiva. Even when you perceive them as ra, you still have to love them. Unbelievable. I came across falling Targum Onklus in preparation for the shir, and I just can't believe how unbelievably it fits. I can't believe the pshat of Onklus. Anyway, Shemos 23:5. Sefer Shemos, Perachav Gimel, Pasuk Hey. I'm going in order of your handout. I hope everyone has a handout or you're sitting next to someone who does. Are there any more there, Sarah? There are more in the front. Should we pass them back? Okay. Look at this Pasuk. Okay, Parshas Mishpatim is full of laws. Kisira chamar sonacha rovetz tachas maso. When you see the donkey of your enemy, note, crouching beneath his burden, v'chadalta me'azov lo, will you refrain from helping him? Azov tazov imo, you should help him. Keep in mind, this fits in with the pasuk of v'ahavta l'rechah kamocha, because do you like the guy? The pasuk just told you, is he your enemy or your friend? Who's having trouble with the donkey, your enemy or your friend? I'm asking you a question. Your enemy, it's very clear. But you should still help him. Look at the profundity of Targum Onklus. It's on your handout. Ari techzei chamra disanach. When you see the donkey of your enemy, rive techos to'ena, crouching under its burden, v'titimna mili, it makes not always my forte, mili mishabekla, Will you refrain from helping him? Look at the next words, which are in bold. Mishpach tishpok madlibech alohi. What does this mean? It's unbelievable. I gave you the English, so you know what it means. Leave the negativity of your heart. And then, utiparek ime, unload with him. In order to help your enemy, says Targum Onkelos, what do you have to do? Remove the negativity that is in your heart. Because otherwise you won't be able to help him. This is unbelievable pshat. The lesson, of course, as we begin our shir, is that strife is futile. It will get us nowhere. It is dangerous and harmful to our parties involved. How far do you have to stay away from machlokas? Parshas Korach, Bamidbar 17:5, Perek Yedayim Pasuk Hey. It's a remembrance for the children of Israel. After Korach and his men attempt to bring Ketores before God, because they are very upset that Moshe is the king and Aaron's the Kohen Gadol. No one should bring Ketores before Hashem except for the Kohen Gadol. V'lo yiyeh k'Korach v'ka'adasa. Don't be like Korach and his aid and Rabbeinu Bachya there. It's on your handout. Quotes Chazal. Mikan hochichu Chazal. From here, the sages prove. Kol amachzik b'machlokas. Over belav. Anyone who strengthens themselves in a machlokas. Anyone who fans the flame of strife. You're over on a lo tase. It's an isur da'araisa to become involved in machlokas. You have to flee from strife as if fleeing from fire. You have to unburden the negativity that is in your heart against your enemy. You have to love your friend now when he's yedidcha, now when he's chavercha, davka when he's re'acha. God doesn't need to tell me to love my kid or my best friend or my parents, no jokes, or my spouse. But the one who you perceive as bad, him you shall love. And if you continue the machlokas, you're over on a lo tase. So let's look at our first instance of national strife, our first civil war, our first instance of hatred between brothers, understanding Yosef and his brother, sibling rivalry, attempted murder, and manipulation. There are two major contributing factors to what happened to Yosef, which was the sale, which leads to Galus Mitzrayim, which we will read about in this week's parsha. You know, Kala Ben HaYilad HaYar Tashlichu did not begin on the Danube River in Churban Europa. It wasn't the first time our enemies came up with this brilliant plan, let's throw him into the river. It started long, long ago. Pharaoh is the prototype for all genocides that our people have faced. Rav Soloveitchik says the exile began the moment Yaakov sent Yosef to find his brothers in Shechem. There are two major contributing factors to what happened here. The first one is his dreams. And the level of pshat, it seems like he's dreaming about the same thing. He's dreaming of rulership. All the sheaves of wheat are bowing down to him. All the heavenly bodies are bowing down to him. Is he dreaming of the same thing? Is he dreaming of different things? He's dreaming of Malchus. Rav Soloveitchik explains the dreams as follows. He has two dreams. And we know the first dream is his alumot, his sheaves. They rise up, and they bow down to him. Then he dreams of heavenly bodies, celestial beings. So if you notice, one dream is of Gashmios, base physicality of this world. And one dream represents, opposite of Gashmios, of course, is Ruchnios. One dream represents base physicality, and one dream represents spirituality. They're not the same dreams. Yosef actually wanted to acquire, to attain, to reach two different levels. What was the first level? Says Rav Soloveitchik, Yosef had two visions. He wants material, economic power and success, opulence, prosperity. The other revolved around spiritual greatness. If you want to come in, there are seats on this side. You're not disturbing. Please don't be shy. If you don't want to come in, that's your choice. But if you do, please, I invite you. There are seats on this side. You're not disturbing us. Yosef wants political power. He wants wealth. He wants to be revered and respected, feared by the people. But he also wants spirituality. Can one person, asks the Rav, combine both qualities? Can one person fulfill both dreams, the dreams of the sheaves of wheat? Can the Jew be economically successful and at the same time spiritually sound? Can we as individuals and can we as a people be both? Can we be a dreamer? Can we be visionaries? And can we be spiritually loved? Apparently, says our Salvechik, Yosef thought he could combine both. The Jew lives in this world. Every man lives in this world. And in this world, it's full of gashmius, base physicality. We have to use the physicality to achieve spirituality. So can we do both? Apparently, Yosef thought, yes. Why, says Rav Salvechik, is the ksonis pasim, multicolored? It's not monochromatic, because the many colors, the clashing colors, signify clashing dreams. We are not put in this world to live a life of abstinence. God says, take the physicality, make a beautiful Shabbos meal. Take the physicality, build it up. That's an esrog, one example. Comes from a tree. It's pure gashmius. Some people make jam after yantav, some people dry that, and it's gashmius. But you have to take the dream of the sheaves of wheat and make yourself successful in the realm of the sun, the moon, and the heavenly bodies. And that's our tafkid. On the one hand, says Rav Salavechik, Yosef was a very practical man. He was the viceroy par excellence. He ran the economy. He saved the people from starvation. He's dealing with food. Yei shever b'mitzrayim, says Yaakov. I hear, you know, there's food. There's provisions. Go down to Egypt. But, says the Rav, he dreamt of stars winking to him from boundless distances. And like I said, the Torah is not an ancient book. And I try. Everything we learn, everything I teach, I try to say, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to me? Can I be involved in this world and dream of stars winking to me from boundless distances? Am I always striving to reach the heavens in my personal avodat Hashem, as was Yosef? It was this that the brothers hated, and it was this that made them resentful. You want to be the perfect Jew? What's Yosef's last name? Not too many people get his last name. Hatzadik. Salvechik speaks about it. He never failed. Yehuda failed, and rose up. Yehuda is the lion who crouches down and gets back up. Yosef is the strong ox who never failed. And the brothers hated this. Hamashal Timshal Aleinu. You're going to be the ruler. You're going to acquire economic success, and you're going to be spiritually resound. We always have to fuse these dual roles. We live in a very gashmiistic world, in a very physical society, in a world full of sheaves of wheat. And I mean that proverbially. It's our tafkid, it's our task to dream not only of economic success, but of spiritual success. And Joseph, the hated lad, shows us it can be done. Next source on your handout. Bereishis 45:26. Vayigidu lo lemer od Yosef chai v'chihu Moshe b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. The brothers come up to the land of Canaan and they say, you're not going to believe it. Do we have a piece of news for you? Ready, father? Are you sitting down? What's the news? You know the kid you haven't seen for 22 years? We found him in Egypt. We found my son in Egypt. Not only is he alive, O Yosef Chai refers to the Gashmias. He's physically alive. He wasn't killed by Potiphar, the chief executioner. By the way, I want you to know something. It's a Pella. It's a miracle. It's Chaste Hashem that he wasn't killed by Potiphar. You go out to celebrate your Yantif in your theaters and your stadiums. The wife says, honey, I'm not feeling so well today. I'm going to stay home with the servant. Then you come home, and that night you're together with your wife, Rashi says, and in the middle of being together with your wife, the wife says, oh, you know what the Hebrew lad did to me? What you're doing to me now, he tried to do to me. And Potiphar, whose job it is to hang people, says, okay, you can go to jail. Did you ever consider what hashkacha pratis that is? What siyata d'shmaya? Why didn't he kill him? He enjoys killing people. That's why Pharaoh had him here. Sahar Tabachim throws him in prison. He pardons him, in essence. He saves his life. Old Yosef Chai, say the brothers. Joseph never made it to the executioner block. He never died from the slave labor. He's still alive, but that's not enough. V'chihu Moshe b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. V'yafag liba kiloha amin lahem. Yaakov cannot believe that Yosef has fulfilled both dreams. You're telling me that my son is spiritually successful while he's physically successful? He has economic power. He is the Tzvasnas Paneach. He's wearing his golden necklace. He's the ruler. But he's still Yosef. He's still alive in Ruchnius. And that's what he can't believe. That the Jew can fuse both aspects of this world. Dream of sheaves and dream of stars. There's something else that we learn from the dreams. Something very important. Ready? You always got to be the Jew who dreams. What do I mean? We all want things. We all pray for things. I'm not talking about a bigger house. I'm talking about lamaisa, the things we really need and the things we really want. The parnasa, the refuah, the shidduch, the shalom bayis. Never mind Messiah coming. Is a person allowed to give up on their dreams? I'm not talking about what you think about at night. I'm talking about what you wish for and what you hope for. Yosef had these dreams when he was 17 years old. He dreamed these fantastic dreams. He never gave up. He's with the Yishmaelim. Oh, never mind. He's in the pit. He's with the Yishmaelim. He's with the Sochim. He's on the slave block. He's with Potiphar. He's seduced. He's in jail. I'll tell you something unbelievable about Yosef that never fails to move me every year in these parshios. I'm going to tell you a secret. I don't know if it's such a secret. Ready? God never speaks to Joseph. It's revolutionary. Look through the last four parshios of the book of Bereishis. Adam, the sinner. Hi, Adam. What did you do? Did you eat from the fruit I told you not to eat from? You ate the tree? Cain, for goodness sake, he just killed his brother. And who's talking to him? The next pasuk. You killed your brother. Hi. You're talking to me? I'm a murderer. Noah, passive. Noah, may Noah. Didn't say one tefillah on behalf of the people of his time. God talks to him. Abraham. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Yosef. Where is his proverbial ladder with God standing on top saying, don't worry? Where is the Almighty reassuring him when he's in the pit? When he's with Mrs. Potiphar, when he's in jail? Yosef is the Jew of Hester Panim. Means the concealment of the divine face. And yet Yosef is the Jew of stalwart Amunah because he never gives up. Never give up on your dreams, the Torah is telling us. No matter that all the cards seem stacked against you, and everybody says it'll never happen, and you hit one speed bump after another, and it's really just not working, God, and you're not talking to me. So you know it's much easier to believe in the Almighty when he tells you exactly what to do. He tells you, go down to Egypt, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to come up with you, say, Yaakov, went down to Egypt. And if he tells you, so you go, because God himself told you to go. But when you're 17 years old, and you have no idea what to do, and you get it right because you don't give up on those dreams, then you earn the last name of Tzaddik. There was once a young boy, the son of an itinerant horse trainer, whose education was constantly interrupted. Because his father was moving from one town to the next, always training horses. He came from a very poor family, was never able to set down roots because his father was always making a livelihood in town to town. And in high school, in one particular town, he had to write a paper on his dreams for the future. And he wrote a 7-page essay. He was going to be not a horse trainer, but a horse owner. He wasn't going to travel from town to town. He's going to have a ranch on 300 acres of land. With horses. He's going to be very wealthy. 2 days later, he gets back the paper with a big red F for fail on top of the paper and a note from the teacher, please see me. So he goes to the teacher and the teacher says, listen, Sonny, this dream is not for you. You're a poor boy from a poor family. You travel from town to town. You're never going to be the owner of horses. You're never going to have a ranch. This mansion that you drew, he drew plans in the paper. It's never going to happen. But I'll give you some consideration. You won't fail the course. Rewrite the paper. And I'll take it into consideration. Make sure it has a more realistic dream. So Sandy went home and he looked at that paper with that big red F at the top of the paper for 3 days. And after 3 days, he hands back in the exact same paper with a note to the teacher. Dear teacher, you keep your F. I'm keeping my dreams. And the PS to the story is that many years later, he invited the teacher, the realist teacher, and her latest crop of students to come visit him on his 300-acre ranch, with his mansion in the middle of the ranch, with the paper with the big red F framed, hanging over the fireplace in the living room. It's a very important message of the story of Yosef. And in fact, what does David HaMelech say? Shir HaMa'alot, B'shuv Hashem Eshiva Tzion, Hayinu Kechomim. We never gave up. All those years, and we see the enemy again today, Chaman Atzlan, former Kedoshim last week in Eretz Yisrael, children, don't give up on your dream, says Yosef. We need to tell the Umos HaOlam, you keep your F, we'll keep our dreams. Although avda tikvatenu, never give up. Atikva bachnot alpayim, liotam chafshi baratzenu. In the ultimate end of days, it will be true freedom. So the first major factor is the dreams. The second is the ksonas pasim, his beautiful coat. In regard to the ksonas pasim, of Salvechik says, listen to these powerful words. The sons of Yaakov were very unhappy. They envied Yosef. He had a multicolored coat. Quote, each one, it's not on your handout, apparently thought he would be the happiest person if his father had given him that multicolored coat instead. They obsessed over this nonsensical thought without appreciating the gift of being 12 brothers together. Why do you have the coat and I don't have the coat? I want the coat. How could father only single you out? The minute Yosef was taken away, says Rav Salvechik, they realized their horrible, tragic mistake when the Bedouins disappear over the horizon, taking their brother down to Egypt. Suddenly they became aware of the exalted brotherly experience. When it was too late, this Kshonis Pasim fueled their jealousy. If we look at the Medrash, Bereishis Rabbah 84:8, V'Yisrael Ahavas Yosef. Yisrael loved Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah have two different opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm on your hand, Shahaya Ziv Ikonin Shalo Domelo. They physically resembled each other. It also means that they spiritually resembled each other. Not only did they physically resemble each other, they spiritually resembled each other. Rabbi Nechemiah says, Kol Halacha Shambasu Shem Ve'Ever Yaakov Masrano. Why did he love him? Yaakov is the Rabbi Murfak. And Yosef is the Talmud Murfak. And everything he learned in Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years, he passed on to Yosef. I want to tell you something beautiful. You know, you hear about the Shem Ve'Ever. You hear a lot about this yeshiva. What's with Shem Ve'Ever? So my thanks to my daughter Tamara. She came home a few weeks ago. She's in eighth grade. And she shared a fantastic insight that she heard in school, name of her principal, Rabbi Weinman. Yaakov is the first Galus Jew. Before he went to Galus with Laban, he spent 14 years in Shem Ve'Ever. The Medrash tells us everything he learned in Shem Ve'Ever he gave to Yosef. What was the secret of Shem Ve'Ever? Ever means the other side. He was teaching his son, when you go Ever, when you are forced by Jewish destiny, by the mysterious Ish, to go to the other side, keep your shame. Be the Jew when you're in the other side. Keep your shame. It's unbelievable insight. Going back to your handout. He made from a multicolored coat. Reish Lakish b'shem Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Omer. Tzarich Adam. Look at the next words. Should have underlined it for you. Shelo l'shanos ben ribanov. Don't play favorites with your child. Shayidei ksonis pasim. Because of this ksonis pasim that Yaakov made for Yosef, they hate him. You know, at the end of every summer, I make a collage in the Costco app of different pictures of the summer. And this past summer, when I made it, I think I counted no less than 6 times to see how many children were in each picture. This is a true story. I wrote down on the paper, can I know 4 children? How many times is each one in each picture? I brought it home, and it was framed, and it goes up on the wall. and MS, the first thing, the kids are very excited by it. They like it. It's hanging in the front hallway. We always move them up as the years go. Baruch Hashem. The first thing one of the children said is, I want to see how many times I'm in the kolosh. Chazal, very profound. Tzarich Adam Shalol Lishanos Ben Mibanav. Don't single anyone out because he singled him out. Look what happened. Furthermore, pasim shahaisa migdeis ad pas yado. It came to the palm of his hand, which indicates royalty. Pas from pas yad, palm of his hand. The king who wears the cloak down to covering his hands, it indicates your hands are covered. You don't have to work. Thou bind the sheaves of wheat. You could be the overseer. What are the brothers supposed to think? We're going to work. We're going to do backbreaking labor. We're going to sweat in the sun, binding the sheaves. You're going to stand in the middle with the ksonas pasim to pas yad. Davar acher. Another matter, it was light and thin, also signifies malchus. Pasim shehifisu ala ezamem yoluchum yolicha la'aba. They drew lots. You understand, the Medrash is giving you many reasons why it's called ksonis pasim. We're talking about it. One is, don't play favorites. Next thing we learn, it reaches the palm of the hand. Next thing we learn, it's a light, it's a fancy fabric. Next thing we learn, they drew lots. Who's going to go home and say to Abba HaKerna, Ksonis bin Chahiyabo? Whose code is it? Yehuda had to do that. And finally, it's an acronym. Potiphar, Sochim, Yishma'elim, and Midyanim. So there's a big problem with this Ksonis Pasim, and there's a big problem with these dreams, and of course, it leads to the sale. And if you look at the next source on your handout, Neilich v'nit post darchel sha'olam. This is what you do to a sinner. Kena'an, who told negativity about Noach to his father Ham, shachata lola eved niskalal. He was cursed to be a slave. So to this one, let's sell him to the Yishma'elim. Why did they sell him? Because they looked at history and they looked back in the records and they see that someone who speaks lashon hara about father or to father is cursed to be a slave. So let's take this boy. Remember, he went home and spoke lashon hara, and let's sell him as a slave. What were the brothers thinking? It's a crucial question. The brothers of the Shiftei Ka, all holy, all sons of Yaakov. We come from Adam. We're sitting at the table on Shabbos, and one of the kids says, "Which Shevet are we from?" So if you're not a Kohen or a Levi, I said, we don't know. They're all holy. They all make up Knesset Yisrael. How could they do this? So Sfarno tells us. We unfortunately don't have time to go through the Sfarno inside. A little bit. They plot against him to kill him. Hine lashon nakal, to conspire. Yorel ahamtza alahara. It indicates they want to do something evil. The Sfarno brings us other sources. They want to kill Yosef. Why do they want to kill Yosef? Ushaba aleihem. When he comes to them, they think, lo lidrosh shlomam. He doesn't want to see how they're doing, like Father said. Ala limtso aleihem alila. He's looking for a pretext against them. Ola achtiyam kedei sheyikalim avihem. What is Farno telling you here? There's a terrible misunderstanding. The brothers show up. Yosef shows up to the brothers. And they think Yosef wants to kill them. Or he wants to find a pretext against them. Father will curse them or punish them. God's going to punish them. And he alone will remain Baruch Mibanim. He alone will remain the blessed son. When they see Yosef coming and they say, Hine Baruch Allah Mushallah Zabah, they think Yosef wants to kill them. Not the other way around. You don't have time to go through the rest of the Sfarno together inside, but it's on your handout. You're welcome to go through on your own. So there's a lot of misunderstanding here. There's a lot of ill will feelings. Maybe they should have said to Yosef, you know, why did you come here today? Maybe. They didn't. Rabbeinu Bachya also speaks about the Ksonas Pasim, also speaks about not showing favoritism. We're going to skip Rabbeinu Bachya. I'm sorry. I think we're building up the case very strongly. And how we see Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch told us, Hatred is not the result of quarrel. It is the root of quarrel. I want to talk about Reuven for a couple minutes because we saw that Reuven's a very interesting personality. The pasuk says about Reuven, it's on page one of your handout, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzi Leinu Miyadam. It's unbelievable. Reuven saves Yosef. Reuven doesn't save Yosef. The Medrash teaches, the Torah teaches you, when a man does a mitzvah, Medrash Vayikra Rabba 34:8, do it belev sameach. Make sure you're happy. Page 4 of your handout towards the bottom. She'ilu haya Reuven yodea she'akadosh baruch hu machtiv avav. This is so powerful. If only Reuven knew God was going to write about him and Reuven saved him, he would have picked Yosef up and carried him home on his shoulders. How many opportunities do we lose because we're not courageous enough to do what we want? We have nice thoughts. We have good intentions. But you gotta be courageous, says Ben Zoma in Pirkei Avos, to follow through. And courage, says Chazal in Pirkei Avos, does not mean to be a warrior. It means to conquer your inclination. Reuven should not have been so nervous about what everybody else would have said. Reuven should not have feared backlash from the brothers. Reuven said, should have said, this is wrong, period. I, the Bachar, am taking Yosef home. Very, very strong Musar Haskel for us. Ezu Chacham, Talmud 32a, Haroa es hanolad. Do you see the outcome of your actions? Do you think before you act how this will impact on other people? What message am I giving others? Reuven portrayed a message, unfortunately, of failure. Reuven did not have the courage. What was the aftermath? The aftermath was Galus. 37:24, second to last source. We're just going to finish up the last two sources on your handout. And they take him, and they throw him into the pit, and the pit is empty. There is no water. Rashi says there are no water, but there were snakes and scorpions. And we said that the galus began the minute Yosef was sent to Shechem. Just finishing up the last two sources. 2 minutes. Based on the teachings of Rav Avi Yitzchak Kohen Cook Zatzal, Rabbi Hanan Morrison teaches, the pit represents galus. But there are different kinds of pits. There is a pit full of water. You have to be careful not to fall in, Rav Cook teaches, but it's a useful pit. You need to go get water, you need to bathe, you need to drink, you need to cook, you need to wash the floor. It's almost like a well. Then there's a pit that's empty. It's not so productive or useful, but it's not dangerous. And then there's a pit with snakes and scorpions. And the Gemara says Yosef's pit was the pit of snakes and scorpions. It wasn't empty. It didn't have water. It was dangerous. This is an analogy for galus, says Rav Cook. We sometimes perceive that galus is useful. It's good. It has water. I can live here. And sometimes we perceive that it's okay. It's not so terrible. It's empty. It might not have water, but it's okay. But the true pit of galus, says Rav Cook, is Yosef's pit, because that's the moment Shibud Mitzrayim began. And that has snakes and scorpions. The snakes bite from the head. The scorpions bite from the tail. Rav Cook says there are two types of enemies. Those who bite us head on, we recognize them. We're coming up to a conference in France, and they're going to decide to slander the state of Israel. That's the snake that bites head on. And then there's the scorpion, the sly one, the enemy we don't even recognize. That was Yosef's pit. Because galus is not a place of water. And galus is not a neutral place. And no matter how beautiful the theaters and the stadiums are, and even if we bring Torah to them, it's still galus. And that's the aftermath of this tragic story of misunderstanding, quarrel, and strife. Very last Mishnah in all of Shas. Lo matza kosh baruch hu kli machzik bracha li Yisrael ela ha-shalom. Uktin 3:12. Shenemar, Hashem oz la'mo yitein. Hashem oz l'ami yitein, Hashem yivarech es ama b'shalom. We can be b'shalom, speak with shalom, remove the negativity in your heart to help your enemy. Love the one who you perceive as ra, when we can work past our misunderstandings, when we can speak b'shalom, to negate the effects of this terrible travesty of Yosef and his brothers, story of manipulation, sibling rivalry, and ultimately a bitter exile. Shir HaMalos, B'shuv Hashem HaShivat Tzion, Ayinu Kachalmim. But in the meantime, we never give up on your dreams, and we tell the Umos HaOlam, you keep your F, because ultimately we will prevail, and we will keep our dreams. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zochet to see the ultimate redemption, which will be eternal shalom for all. Thank you, everybody.